really, really fear, really doubt, really locked doors. Something has happened because our doors are not locked. And if you know St. Mary's and you're here often, you realize that they really never are. And even if they are, there are more people entrusted with entry into this building, people that aren't even in our community. Something has happened. A spirit has come, a spirit that trusts, a spirit that guides us, a spirit that we want to pass on to others. But it doesn't sound as if it were quite that way on that first Easter, and even a week later. And this story that we have today is so rich in how it is that we're empowered and how we begin to face our own limitations and our own inability to pray the psalm we just prayed, or to pray and believe the collect that we can be reconciled. This story today of Jesus coming into the room with the disciples and breathing on them a spirit and a peace that empowers them, I think, beyond our classical notion that priests could forgive sins, or the fights we had about who really does that. God alone does. But the spirit that Jesus gives the disciples, I think, is much more powerful and much more fearful, because it tells them, if you hold the sins of someone against them, they're going to be held against them. If not by God, certainly by you. And if you forgive them, then they will be forgiven. Always by God, but allowed to come into your presence. And immediately after this part of the story is what we traditionally call Doubting Thomas. And I grew up with that as a child, and we were to hear it as something that we were to model. But I don't think it's quite fair to Thomas. And I'm not sure that it's really doubt. Because somewhere between that first Easter and the week later, when Thomas is with them, he began to make his Easter journey already. He came into that room open to the possibility of resurrection. But his problem wasn't that he didn't believe as much as it was that he set conditions around the way in which Jesus should be resurrected for him. And that we know full well. If we're honest with ourselves, we always come here with some expectation that we'll be dressed the right way, that we'll be seated in the right place, that we say the prayers the right way. And we know that really none of that matters. That we don't do it to know the resurrected Christ. We do it so that we can be with the resurrected Christ, and especially that resurrected Christ in this body of believers, with doors unlocked for those who are always welcome to come with their conditions of resurrection. And this story of Thomas fits into a whole chapter. Chapter 20 of John's Gospel is the story we heard last week of the beloved disciple and Peter running to the tomb, and then the story of Mary standing outside weeping, and now the story of Thomas, and finally the story that's the invitation to all of us. You see, the beloved disciple has to be led to faith also, and he doesn't go into the tomb. He simply sees and steps back. And when they return home, he leaves the narrative, period. But Mary, as we know, stood in her grief, in her need to touch Jesus, to know that that was a risen reality. And Jesus' invitation to her by name broke open her need to have her conditions met. And she was fully known. And she makes her Easter proclamation, Rabbi. And Thomas is no different than Mary, really. Mary Magdalene is no different than Thomas. More conditions, but a willingness to go into that place. And finally, the invitation to us in the very last verse of this chapter. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that you may have faith and belief in him and life in his name. You see, have you ever read the story from Jesus' perspective? He's willing to meet Thomas's conditions. That's pretty generous. But what he says to Thomas is, even if you touch me, don't live in unbelief. Live in faith. And then we, the hearers of this gospel, are really given the blessing that perhaps is above even the beloved disciple and Mary and Thomas. Blessed, Jesus says, are those who will not see, but believe. And maybe deep in our heart, we know that sense of blessing, and that's why we can leave the doors unlocked. But we still live in that deep sense that we may not be met completely. This afternoon, and for the remaining weeks of Easter, we will begin a journey at St. Mary's that is the journey that these three have taken in this gospel. We will come with open doors, and we will begin to look at how it is that we're closed off in our own heart, not from God and not from the risen Christ, but by the conditions we place on ourselves that still say we may not be worthy. We will begin our sanctuary experience, and I invite everyone to consider being part of that. It's three movements you can see in these gospel stories. One of release, releasing ourselves from the limitations that we've imposed on ourselves in the face of God, the conditions we've laid before Christ. Illumination, as Mary has, as the beloved disciple has, and as Thomas has. And finally, unitive, a complete reconciliation and unity in God, restored, realizing that we are the beloved disciple. It's a fearful journey, and we're going to do it with each other. That's even worse. You don't get to sit in your corner and close your eyes and deal with it. We're gonna trust a bit. And we're gonna be aware that many dangers and many threats and many fears may come out of that. But we're gonna walk together as that first group of disciples did, so that those who hear the book and the words as we tell them know our proclamation, the same one that Thomas makes. My Lord and my God, the highest proclamation of Christ's identity in John's Gospel. And they will know through the book of our life that they are invited to join that, and that we can proclaim together. And we can make the words of the narrator our own. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name.